All right, hello everyone. Welcome back once again. I hope your weeks went pretty well. I had a pretty busy week this week. I had two tests, among other things. I was having a little trouble finding a topic for this week's episode until I got an email from one of my listeners, and I believe he's also sent me an audio question in the past. So I think this is the same person. But he was able to provide me with this question that was actually, I thought it was a very good question, and I would be able to use this question for the entirety of the show and base the entire show along the line of this question, because I really haven't touched on it, and it's a pretty important thing to discuss, I think, when talking about creationism and evolution and the quote-unquote controversy between the two. So I'm going to divulge again from the normal layout of doing a creationist claim and moving on into the main topic of the show, and just doing an entire show based on this one theme. So before I get started even, I'm going to just play that audio for you so you can hear what the question is.
Hey Robert, my name's Lenny. I've been a long-time listener of your podcast, and I'm really glad that you brought it back. My question to you is that there's this church down the street playing a series of films, and the presentation of it is called Evolution versus Intelligent Design. I guess they're going to play these videos, and I don't know if they're going to take questions and answers or whatever, but I'm curious, are these the types of things that I should go to and question or ask the pastor during the service about, or do you think that these types of things should be just ignored and don't give them the time of day, almost a Dawkins type of approach to even watching the videos? Or should these be the things that good opportunities to go and educate people? I'm just curious what your response is at a thing like that. I hope to hear from you. Thanks for bringing back the podcast. Bye.
Well, as I just said, this is a great question and one that I really haven't addressed. And I will actually give you the answer to this question, Lenny, at the end of this episode. So I'll kind of go through what I want to talk about, and then hopefully we'll see where I'm going with this, and I'll be able to answer your question at the end of the episode. And the question is, how exactly do we deal with creationism? What do we do? How can we approach the issue, and how can we educate people and show them that evolution is the actual science, whereas creationism is something masquerading as science, but it's really just unfalsifiable doctrine. Now, the problem is bigger than some people might think, because a paradox kind of pops up here in dealing with this creationist issue. There are really two main ways to approach this thing. We can discuss it, or we can ignore it. Like Lenny was saying, Dawkins would prefer we kind of just ignore the issue and let it go away. The problem is, if we ignore it, creationists largely complain to a largely ignorant public. That's not to say that public is necessarily stupid, but that they just don't know enough about these issues to make informed decisions. The creationists complain to the public that their alternative is being put off by the scientists simply because the scientists don't want to accept God, and we get into this whole notion of scientists are trying to, you know, sweep the truth under the rug, and the public will buy that a lot of the time. And that's the big problem with just ignoring this issue is, the scientists can ignore all they want because it's really not a problem for science. Scientists know that creationism has been falsified a long, long time ago. And the same thing with intelligent design. But the public, they don't see it that way. They see creationism and intelligent design as viable alternatives to evolution, when in fact it's not. So if we ignore this, the public's going to think there's a big conspiracy theory going on in science, which a lot of them do right now in regards to evolution, but ignoring it might make it even worse. Not to mention, when creationists try to claim that it's their God's truth versus evolutionary science, and we live in a population that's largely a Bible-believing group of people, we run into this false dichotomy that the choice is going to be obvious for the large majority of the public. They're going to choose their God over what science says. So if we make this dichotomy of it's either God or Darwin, or science in general, people are more than likely going to go with their God instead of what science tells us, if they believe that it's only God, or only Darwin, or only evolution, or only natural sciences. The creationists don't allow for there to be a mixing of the two views. They don't allow them to be kind of intermingled when they would still make sense like that, but creationists see things in a black and white kind of perspective, and want to use that perspective to kind of twist the public against accepting science and evolution in general. And on the other hand, if we discuss this issue, if we don't just ignore it, like Dawkins would want us to do, but if we discuss it, on the other hand, the creationists will claim that they're being taken seriously by the scientists. Even though every time, and I discussed this last episode, that when the scientists address claims by creationists or by evolution, or excuse me, by intelligent design advocates, it's not, well, this is a viable idea and I'm going to look more into this. This idea is horribly wrong. It's demonstrably false. Here's why it's false. So even though every discussion by scientists will be a total rebuttal and refutation of what creationists have to say about evolution or the Big Bang, what will happen is that they'll just claim that they're being taken seriously by the scientists just because the scientists are talking about them. They're just making a lot of noise, and when the scientists try to say, well, look, this is obviously wrong because of this, this, and this, the creationists and intelligent design advocates say, look, scientists are talking about us. We must be making a big splash in the scientific community, and so we are being taken seriously there. Therefore, creationism and intelligent design is a viable alternative to evolutionary theory. It would seem the very root of this paradox is the following. While academia have no problem demonstrating the invalidity of creationist and intelligent design claims, it's the public that really matters. It's the public who both sides are seeking to kind of win over and show them that their view is the correct one. While evolution has the science behind it, creationists and intelligent design advocates have kind of public relations on their side. A lot of scientists don't really do a good job of being PRs for the actual science, so that's where the big problem comes in. And the large problem, again, like I stated before, to a Bible-believing Christian, of which a large part of our country is comprised, is if they buy into the creationist intelligent design dichotomy of Darwin or God, then the choice to the Christian is going to be obvious. They're going to choose God. The key, one of the keys at least, to solving this problem, I would say, this problem of creationism, would be destroying this dichotomy, showing them that it's demonstrably false, that people have to realize that it's not Darwin or God, and that evolution is compatible with religious belief, unless, of course, you're going to take the literalist biblical view of the Genesis account, in which case science is not compatible with that, and, again, science will be able to demonstrate that the Genesis view, if you take it literally, is obviously false. So this takes us back to the original question. How do we deal with creationism? Would it be formal debate? Stronger emphasis in schools on evolution? Going to little church events like Lenny is wondering? If there's one thing I've learned after studying this issue for a long time, it's that formal debates are usually a really bad idea. Now, the format of these debates is usually such that the moderator really doesn't ask questions, and even when the moderator of the debate does ask questions of the evolutionary scientist or the creationist, the debate usually goes bad for the scientist. And you might be wondering why, if the scientists have the facts and evidence on their side, why do they seem to be losing these sorts of debates with creationists? And there are multiple answers to this question. Number one is location. The debate is often done in a church. A lot of these debates I've seen, you can go on YouTube and find them all the time. They're often done in churches where you'll have a scientist versus a creationist on their home turf, basically. Oftentimes, the church that they use has a large creationist support group, so right away, the scientist is kind of going into, and I say this in quotes, enemy territory, because right away, they're going to a part where they're the ones having to provide the evidence, when in fact, if this were in any other setting, like an academic setting, it would be the creationists that would have to support their claims. But again, the academia and the public are two totally different settings, and so the public perception is going to be totally different than how the academia receive it, and the burden of proof is kind of shifted from one side to the other depending on where this location is. So winning the debate is all about public perception and not about the facts a lot of the time, which is a sad thing about formal debates in non-academic realms. It's about the public perception of it and not about the scientific evidence. So the creationists, while they're not very good at using evidence to back up their claim, they make up for this lack of evidence with good public speaking. And scientists, on the other hand, while they have the evidence on their side, most scientists are not really good at public speaking, for the most part, and while creationists usually are. And finally, the scientists have to watch out for what most people call, or if it's not most people, at least I call it this, the shotgun tactic. Now, this is a tactic that creationists use a lot in debates that I've seen. And a lot of people don't realize that making a claim up is a lot easier than someone refuting that claim that somebody just made up. Again, the burden of proof lies on someone who's making the claim, not someone who has to refute the claim that someone just made when the original claim has no evidence going for it. Now, a creationist can throw out a claim about evolution in 30 seconds, as long as it takes him to say it, pretty much. Now, refuting it to the satisfaction of what a scientist would think the public would need as a refutation could take anywhere 10 minutes or more to provide this refutation. So when the creationist gets in trouble, here's where the shotgun tactic comes out. The method is as follows. You throw as many questions at the scientist as possible so that they can't possibly answer them all. And then when time runs out, you say, well, the debate's over. You didn't answer my questions, all of them, because I threw about 30 at you, and it takes you, 10 minutes to respond to each one. So you didn't answer all my questions. I guess I must be the winner of the debate because you can't answer all these questions I gave to you about how evolution is wrong, and I threw these out at you. So the creationist tactic would be just throw a bunch of things at the scientist, and the scientist has to take a lot of time responding to them. The scientist will never get to their point, and they'll just spend a lot of time refuting these creationist claims. The obvious problem with this is that the burden of proof lies on the creationist for their claims, because they contradict the scientific majority. However, the audience doesn't seem to perceive it that way, and again, this is all about location. If this were in an academic setting, the creationist would be the one who would be out of business right now in the debate. A scientist would only have to throw one question at the creationist, and the creationist would not be able to answer it to the satisfaction of a scientist. But again, we are in a church. For the most part, we're doing these debates in churches, which is why we often lose these debates. I went to a kind of debate in Seattle a while back. I think I did a podcast on it. It was in Seattle, and they were having an intelligent design advocate versus a scientist. And it was in a kind of public hall, but still, it was not such that there was one clear-cut winner, because they weren't doing it in a church, and there were a lot of people, there were a lot of scientists in the back, and they were all in favor of evolution. However, there were a lot of layman people. I sat next to one who I believe he was an engineer, and he was saying that intelligent design is a viable alternative to evolution. When in fact, if we look at the scientists who actually study evolution, they were all in the same category as the evolutionary scientists. They all knew that evolution was science and that intelligent design was not. But the layman people often don't perceive it that way. And this also goes back to a lot of other claims about intelligent design, like critical thinking, and we need to have equal time for these things in our schools. So again, this is a big problem for evolution, and in terms of debating, that we can't win these debates because we often can't rely on the evidence. We have to rely more on public speaking rather than the evidence to back up our claims. Now, I think one possible solution that would allow for formal debates, because I'd love to do some debates against any creationists, if there are any listeners who maybe want to debate me, or they know someone who would like to debate me, I'd love to do a debate, which would be a lot of fun, and I think it would bring a lot more diversity to the show than me rambling on and on about something for 30 minutes. But I think one possible solution that would allow for formal debates would be to move the discussion from the very broad category of evolution, which creationists think is the same as the Big Bang and abiogenesis as well, to a more narrow subcategory like human evolution, or perhaps even narrower, like a subset of human evolution. Now, I think the main reason this would be effective would be for the reason that the shotgun tactic, the method of throwing millions of questions at a person and seeing they can't answer them all and then declaring yourself the winner, the shotgun tactic wouldn't be that effective because all the questions would have to go through this funnel of pertaining to human evolution, for example, or anything in a subset of that. And asking about anything else would be going off topic. With a narrower focus, the scientist would have a much easier time answering the creationist's questions because they would all fall under the same specific category. And not, well, once you refute a creationist in one claim, they'll just jump to another category and they'll kind of jump everywhere and you can never catch them and stop them and say, look, you just keep jumping everywhere. If the category is broad enough, they're allowed to do that in the debate. So if you lay out before the debate that we are going to be talking about this specific subset of evolution, be it human evolution or just hominid evolution in general, etc., etc., if you just make it so the focus is narrow enough, the scientists would have a much easier time answering these creationist questions because they would all pertain to the same thing pretty much. Basically, if you think about a shotgun, the pellets don't just go flying everywhere. They have to go through this little specific funnel if the category is narrow enough. And so the scientists can deal with that smaller category than having to jump all over and stop the big broad category of evolution in general. Aside from formal debates, I think another vital thing for scientists to do is to get better at public speaking. And just in general, not in just the debate setting, but in speaking to the public in general, say at a lecture. I mean, we have our Richard Dawkinses and our Eugenie Scotts, for example, But frankly, I think we need a lot more scientists who are able to communicate with the public in regards to these certain scientific aspects that people would claim are controversial simply because they don't really understand what the science is behind one of them. And so they say, well, the other idea is probably the same kind of alternative because they both kind of use scientific language and they both sort of know or sort of sound like they know what they're talking about. But in actuality, a lot of the creationist claims are just plain empty. There's nothing to them. So if a scientist was better able to communicate these ideas to the public, it might clear up a lot of misconception about what evolution is, how it works, or maybe how science works in general. I mean, most laymen view academic writing as really out of their league. And a lot of people I know, especially a lot of people in my hometown, pride themselves on their lack of ability to understand science, as if understanding science, if you don't understand it, well, you're a normal person. Most people don't understand science. We need to make this knowledge more widely available and comprehensible for people who don't really want to read a lot of books on science. So we need to be able to go around and be good at our public speaking. Now, granted, this public speaking method won't work for everyone. There are people who just simply are convinced of their view and do not want to be convinced otherwise. But there are many people, I think, who are genuinely confused about the issue and don't know which side is which, simply because they don't know enough about the science. So if we improve public understanding of evolution and the methodology of science in general, I think this would go a long way in helping move this country away from the view that the majority view right now is that creationism and the notion that evolution is wrong, or that a God was behind, you know, the biblical view of things. This is the majority view in America right now, that the creationist view is the majority view right now. It seemed to be on the decline, but I believe a recent poll kind of put it, again, it's around 50-50. And the very fact that we're like the second lowest country in terms of accepting evolutionary science next to, I believe it was Turkey, which is a very highly creationist state, the very fact that we're that low, I think we need to move towards getting a higher and better public understanding of science in general. Again, a lot of people pride themselves in not being able to understand the science, and I think that's a very bad thing, that people find it okay to say, well, I don't know anything about science, but that's okay because no one else really does in the public. We need to improve public understanding of evolution and the methodology in science in general. And one of the things I think we need to do is we need to find a way to make the public want to learn about science. I mean, there are a lot of venues we can use, television, books, etc., lectures, but we just need to find a way to make science interesting to the population. I know a lot of popular science books can do that, but a lot of people don't like to read books. I know a lot of people who don't read at all, but again, watch television. So if we use television and try to just make these understanding of evolution and science in general a little more widely available and interesting to the public, that would be a great idea. And I actually think that improving public understanding of evolution could come second to emphasizing the methodology of science. I think emphasizing that methodology is of prime importance to the scientists in just science in general. The other day, I was listening to the podcast Creation Evolution, The Debate, which one of my listeners informed me about, and I had sort of found it through iTunes. It's under the Christian category if you want to check it out. The host is, self-admittedly, a creationist, and like so many other creationists I've heard, seems to think that scientists, or rather just science in general, is biased because it doesn't allow for supernatural quote-unquote explanations. I think it is of prime importance that it just needs to be emphasized why science does not allow for the supernatural. It's not due to some bias that the scientists have, and I've talked about this for the last two episodes probably, and I hope you're not getting bored of me ranting on about this, but the very notion of linking cause to effect, how linking a supernatural cause to a physical real effect is logically impossible, that needs to be shown. The public needs to understand that the supernatural cannot possibly be an explanation, regardless of if you believe in the supernatural or not. Again, I think this should be in our discussion of science in public schools. There should be a brief discussion on the philosophy of science. Often we go over what certain science says about this and that, but people don't really get the impression that it's not okay to allow the supernatural in schools. So I think a brief discussion on the philosophy of science, or maybe even a class on the philosophy of science, would be a great step towards better public understanding of what science is all about. People see it as kind of a method, but then they think any philosophical view will be allowed in there. Supernatural, natural, methodologically natural, philosophically natural, etc., etc. You can have a million views that people might think are all real possibilities in the scientific realm, when in fact there's only one, and that's methodological naturalism. Now, I'm not advocating an attack on religion here. I don't want to give out that impression. And I'm not trying to give out the idea that belief in the supernatural is some sort of stupid thing. That's not what I'm trying to do. All I'm advocating is that our school system needs to make it clear to the young people in America, and just people in general, but again, emphasize this in the schools, I would say, would be that science alone can't touch on the question of a god or the supernatural. It's impossible for natural things to evidence the supernatural. That's a logical, you can deduce that logically. It's a very simple notion. We gain natural, all evidence is gained through our senses, which all interact with natural things. That's how we sense things. And to say this somehow gives us evidence of something that is outside of nature, outside of what we can sense, it's nonsensical. It doesn't logically make sense. So it's impossible for the supernatural to be evidenced by the natural. It's not a scientific bias, it's a logical necessity, and that is what needs to be pointed out to the public. Now, I have plenty of other ideas, which I could probably fill a book with. Might not be a bad idea, I need a little extra money for school, but I think these will be sufficient for now. We need better public speaking, and we need to, if we do these debates with creationists, we need to narrow the topic down so that we're on an even playing field with the creationist, where their public speaking ability might not be able to overwhelm our scientific facts. Now, going back to answer your question, Lenny, I would say, go have fun at the creationist event. I would certainly go. I go to all sorts of these events all the time. Though it's not usually to question the creationist speaker, though sometimes I kind of get, you know, I get a little self-satisfaction of going to the creationist and asking them a question that they really can't answer, and that I can see them kind of making up the answer. But the problem is when they make the answer up, the public who's listening will usually buy it. The creationist, again, is really good at public speaking. And so they're able to kind of worm their way out of answering these questions directly to the person who asked them. Even when the person who asked them knew in the first place that they were not going to be able to answer it, so they get it wrong. The person who asked the question knew they would get it wrong, but the public is still sitting there saying, wow, this guy sure knows what he's talking about. He used a lot of scientific words. And so the creationists in the audience are really not convinced that the speaker was totally confused. So if you go there to ask the pastor a question to him, I wouldn't expect to have people say, come up to you later and say, wow, you asked a really tough question for the speaker. I could see that he was having a lot of trouble trying to answer your question. So I wouldn't expect that if you went to this kind of event that's going on at this church. However, I would say go simply because it helps you see how the average creationist thinks about these issues. A big key to fighting this issue is to understanding what goes on in the creationist mind, how they perceive evidence, what they view on this issue. So if you go there and get a better understanding of that, you'll have a better time understanding how you'll be able to approach this issue in the future and what the best method is for combating this notion of creation and intelligent design and it being a viable alternative to evolution in public schools. So you'll have a hard time convincing really anyone there. Again, I went to a local event in which I questioned Hugh Ross, the old Earth creationist, in regards to some claim he made about causality. And I brought up the notion of vacuum fluctuations and how that kind of threw a wrench in his kind of idea. And he was surprised at the fact that I knew about vacuum fluctuations. And instead of answering my question, really, it seemed he had to spend his entire time describing what vacuum fluctuations were to his audience. And I kind of wanted to bring out the point that my statement just kind of messed with his whole notion of causality, but he didn't really address that, and no one seemed to understand what my question was even dealing with or how it posed a threat to his idea. I had people come up to me afterward and say, wow, you know, you're pretty smart. You know about this vacuum fluctuation thing. I had no idea about that. But they didn't understand that my question posed a large problem for Hugh Ross's notion of causality. So, again, I wouldn't go expecting that people will change their minds there. And I'm sure you don't really expect that. So, again, I just think go there and try to understand what's going on in the creationist mindset, what they see, what they're bringing up as evidence in their, you know, intelligent design video. I'm sure they're going to bring up the same old rehashed arguments because they do a million times. But, again, just go to see what they think about the issue and how they kind of understand it. Now, granted, if they bring up some very obvious creationist claims, ones that are patently false and easily falsifiable that wouldn't take too long to demonstrate they're false. You know, Darwin's deathbed, you know, he converted on his deathbed, etc. I would say, go have fun, have at it, show them that they're wrong about this issue. But I wouldn't, again, I would just simply go to see how these people think, and we can more effectively deal with creationism only when we know what's keeping the creationist in the dark about science, and I think we have a pretty good idea so far because we've dealt with creationism for so long. But, again, it always helps for just the everyday person to go and try to educate everyone else and try to show them what they know about science when a lot of people don't know anything about science and they pride themselves in their lack of ability to know anything about science. I think if there are people there who genuinely want to know more about the science, I'd say you can recommend them to read Darwin, for example. A lot of creationists who quote Darwin have actually never read anything by Darwin at all. So I would recommend doing that. But as for formally going up and questioning the pastor, I wouldn't do it during the session that they're watching, or maybe in the Q&A session if you want to bring something up, feel free. Just do what you think would be fun, but just go to these events. Just remember that no one is really going to be able to convince one way or the other which view is right, and usually these things are kind of just preaching to the choir, these intelligent design videos that are being played in churches. It's just kind of preaching to the choir already, so you're not really going to convince anyone. But again, on a more neutral setting, if you were in a school or something like that and there was a debate going on, then I would say you'd feel freer to ask these sort of questions and question the people who are doing their discussion, because you're in a more open setting. It's not, I guess, it would be so hostile to science in this church, which I'm guessing, if it's going to play this video, would be kind of hostile to science. So I hope you do go, and I hope you tell me all about it after you do go, and let me know what happens at the event. But have fun with that. And with answering that question, that's going to be the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, it was a great question brought up by Lenny about how exactly we should deal with this creationist issue. What should we do about it? How do we best approach it? So thank you for that. I was having a lot of trouble coming up with an idea for the show, but that kind of made it really, that was a really good topic, and I thank you again for bringing it up. And again, if anyone else wishes to have a question they want to talk about on the show, please feel free to send me that question or a comment, etc. My email is rlippens, that's LIPPENS, at wavecable.com. Questions in a little audio file would be great, because, again, no one wants to hear my voice rattle on for half an hour just alone. If you can have your voice on the show, that'd be great. Lenny, if you have another question, you know, feel free to send one in. If you got another one, I have no problem with that as well. And I hope, again, you have fun at a little creationist event if you go, and tell me how it goes if you do go. As for next week's show idea, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do. I'm going back and forth between a few ideas, but I'll have it worked out sometime during the week, and if you give me a good question, I'll probably just do the question, and if I can extrapolate on it enough, I might just do a whole show on your question instead of doing the show idea that I'll be able to bring out in next week. So, have a great week, and we will talk next time.